said talk to me, damn it, or else I'm gonna throw you in the fire!
You stupid bitch, you filthy!
Welcome back to Flyover State of Fear. I got great returning guests in Trav and Jess from What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie. How have you guys been?
We've been really good.
Yeah, thanks for having us back on here.
Yeah, we're excited to be back.
Of course. I know last time we talked, I remember we talked like three times in 1 week, basically, because we recorded my podcast, your podcast. And then I feel like we also were just communicating every day. So, like,
yeah.
And anyone who wants to check that one out, it was Amongst Friends. And then I went on your show for Goosebumps. And
That's a good double feature right there. Among Friends and Goosebumps.
Oh, my God. What a jarring two would be. Yeah.
Well, okay. So it's funny. Before we started recording, we were talking about cons. And the only ones we currently have planned is Scarefest in Lexington, Kentucky. And Danielle Harris has been announced as a guest. Oh. And we were joking about like going into her line and ignoring everything else in her filmography and just talking about Among Friends.
I want to be like, oh,
she would probably love that.
Yeah, you're in Halloween. Wow, I just really liked your movie Among Friends. Yeah,
really, like, and like pull out like her, we didn't want to think of she had like one more directorial, like a debut actually before you pull that out of your ass too. Wow, I think you guys should do it. I don't think you should mention Halloween at all. I don't even mention her things in the Gordon Green trilogy, any of it. Just
I don't know if she would be happy or if she would be offended. I think she would be mixed. I think we would maybe break her.
How dare you? I know my brother always talks about it. He's like, if I meet Luke Skywalker, what's his Mark Hamill, he's like, I'm just gonna mention Brigsby Bear. I'm like, that's a move.
Dude, like, there was a guy that did that at Scarefest. We talked to him like our first year, and he brought Bruce Campbell this weird movie about ski slopes, and he asked him to sign that. Ski and school? Like, apparently, yeah, I don't know what it was, but like, apparently, he wasn't amused.
That's
Bruce
interesting.
Doesn't seem like the type you could joke with.
Yeah. No, seems like he could joke with you, you can't joke at him.
Yeah.
That's like probably asking, I'm sure he gets it, but that's like asking just Robert Englund about like the Phantom of the Opera he did, or like Urban Legend, Jack Brooks Monster Slayer. But
Danielle Harris was in Urban Legend also.
She was the roommate. Ask her about that. She probably gets that more than Among Friends though.
Yeah.
That would be a good, I think you guys should run it. You should film it, clip it. Put it up and then be like, that's my podcast.
And then we're joking because Scout Taylor Compton's also going to be there, and we just want to bring her a picture of our cat Scout.
Yeah,
have her sign that.
Sign her cat.
She might. She seems, they both seem cool.
Yeah,
I think they'd like that. Like, this is your namesake. It's not a Kill a Mockingbird reference.
Absolutely not was the intention of it at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure she's probably named after To Kill a Mockingbird. Like, I feel like everyone whose name is Scout.
Yeah.
But anyway, I know you guys are so like hooked into like horror too, which like I know I follow your socials, so like I love seeing what you guys have been watching and all of that. Anything like recently any jump out to your mind before we get into?
Just watched Scream 6 last night.
Ooh, I'm going Tuesday.
It's so good.
Okay, how did you feel about 5?
5, it was weird. It was like I loved it, and I saw it in theaters, and then I went home, like talked about it, and then I watched it like 2 or 3 more times, and I liked it less each time I've seen it.
I feel like you're describing my experience too.
Yeah.
I flip-flop every time I watch it. I go between like I love this, I don't love this, I love this.
Like, some of it was, like, right out of, like, I think Pandemic, right? Quarantine 5, where I was like, the movies, Scream!
Yeah.
This is fucking awesome! And then, like, you know, some, you know how some people like, get in your brain also after you see a movie? Like, that kind of happened. I watched it again. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of dumb. You know, so I don't hate it and I don't love it. It's like right, and I'm not a Scream 3 hater either. So like I don't think there's any bad Scream movie, so I'll put it that way. I'm looking forward to it. It was definitely one where with 6, I at first was like, oh really? This could be bad. And then I'm really excited from like the buzz I've heard from
it's amazing, man.
Yeah.
It's,
they definitely found their fitting with the franchise.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I'm going a nice $7 Tuesday deal movie. Can't wait.
Cinemark? A Cinemark discount Tuesday?
AMC's discount Tuesday. Okay. And I bought 4 tickets at once. And I was like, this shouldn't be $25. And you know, then I saw a little sign. So that's awesome. So yeah, put Scream 6 on your radar if you haven't seen it. I think this is out like from a month from our recording, so the hell knows. But anyway, any other like things you guys gotta like stand out for you in recently?
Oh God, what else have we watched? My brain is just fried from American Mary. We're rewatching Twilight also for the 10th time. I like love that stupid franchise.
I understand. I've dealt with my Twilights myself. To full disclosure, because it's going to mention in this episode, we've been watching nonstop. I haven't watched any movies in like 3 weeks because I've just been watching One Tree Hill.
Okay.
Because it's just dumb and batshit crazy. And actually, the Laurie in this movie, the lead, is in the later seasons as like a sister. Oh. And I literally stopped watching that season to then watch this. And I'm like, you know, two different kinds. So I'm sure I will bring that up. And so I understand it. Just like my brain's mush. It's that or like South Park right now. I haven't put a lane in to put any movies in my fucking brain.
Yeah. Well, I'll watch TV in the mornings while I'm getting ready. And for a while, there hasn't been, like, a show that I've been wanting to watch. I've just been rewatching old episodes of Drag Race and Drag Race All-Stars. Perfect.
Yeah.
And then the second half of You came out. So okay. I've been watching that. So it's, like, a real weird, like, back and forth between things in the morning for me.
I get it. And then you're like, well, that sounds like that. And that does that, but they don't go at all. Yeah. I never finished You. I did, like, 2 seasons and then forgot about it.
It's insane and toxic and good. Absurd, and I love it.
That's great. That's all I want in my shows. Having said of insane and toxic, we are talking about The Final Destination, which is Final Destination 4. I'm going to read the synopsis and I pulled it straight from the web, and I have not read it yet, so let's see if it's accurate, and then I'll ask you guys why you picked it. While enjoying a day at the track, Nick O'Bannon, I didn't know he had a last name, has a horrific premonition of his friends and him all dying in a freak accident involving many race cars. Mere seconds before the vision comes true, he manages to convince them to leave. Although they cheat death then, the survivors each begin to meet a grisly end, and Nick tries to figure a way to escape a similar fate. Yeah, that's a good one. I say that it's accurate.
This feels like a fill in the blank for all Final Destination movies. You know, like you can just be, and Nick convinces blank about blank. Yeah, it's just
Clear Rivers gets out of blank to do blank.
Yeah.
But so why Final Destination 4? That when you guys sent me that message, that was like my first thought of. Actually, I know the first time we hung out, it was a watch long for the third one.
Yeah,
it was with Eric and Vivi. Shaken Not. Yeah, Eric and Vivi was Shaken Not Scared, and I was like, yeah, I'll join in. And I think it's an app none of us even use anymore. We all got on, and we all watch it. And like, you know, it was the third one, which to me, I believe, the roller coaster, and to me, that's like one of the strongest ones.
I love that one.
But why 4?
Because. This was actually my suggestion, and Travis was like, that's a good one.
Yeah, and you don't need a reason. I just...
Yeah. No, so, much like Scream, Final Destination is one of those franchises that I really feel like doesn't have a super weak entry.
I don't think so.
Like, definitely people have their favorites and their least favorites, but like when you're ranking them, I feel like, for me personally, I feel like they're real close.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I think it's one of those series where, like, even if you, your last ranking, you're like, it's not bad, it's just there's six of them and I gotta put something at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like this one, I can see why it would be lower on people's lists, but I think it gets an unfair amount of hate online, mm-hmm. because take away the dumb 3D effects.
Yeah.
And it's a solid movie underneath. And we got a bunch of those fake outs. Like, you don't just get the one premonition. Like, you get multiple premonitions.
It's interesting, right? It's the first one to do that. You have, yeah, you said that it's all red herrings, almost every kill. Mm-hmm. And you get two different characters that get different fake outs too, which is pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, but yeah, no, an interesting way to pick it. Cause it's right there with, so we're also, I know we were just talking about like the, you know, brains being mush and all that. We're slowly trying to watch the Fast and the Furious franchise for the new one, just cause they're so fucking dumb. And like, yeah, they're a fun time to sit down and here's a watch. And Fast and Furious and Final Destination did the same thing in 2009. And I think they're the first to do it. They just used the name of the first movie and just added a "the" and dropped the. And I can't think of any franchise before 2009 that did that, that wasn't a reboot.
I wish that was a thing that caught on with movies that it didn't make sense for, like the Halloween.
I almost wish, though, because we're talking about Scream earlier. Now they're saying Scream 6. Give me a package that says Scream 5 is fucking Scream 5. Yeah. And not all new movie. You know, it says it on every all of our slipcases.
Yeah.
But yeah, I noticed that. I'm like, there's Fast and Furious 2009, which was like a soft reboot of that. And then this is kind of the same thing. It's the Final Destination. And it's kind of a soft reboot. Like, right, we like scrapped Tony Todd.
I was always confused. Like, I thought like the Final Destination was trying to imply it's the final. Like, it's
the
final. Oh.
Yeah, that's how I always interpreted it.
No, that's probably how you're supposed to read it. I just...
I will like, say, though, I'm pretty Ohio sure Texas State. Chainsaw did this, too. Because there's Texas Chainsaw... But Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Of this right? time. Yeah, I know the Netflix one was the same thing.
Yeah,
and that's a sequel to the original. Yeah, it's a sequel to the original. And then there was all those sequels to the Jessica Biel one. So yeah, you're right. It's just a weird thing. Like, I don't know. To get I could hung up on the naming convention of the movie, yeah. But like, yeah, I kept checking back our message. Like, this is the one we're watching. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It also doesn't help that so many franchises decide to make the third entry the 3D one, and then Final Destination went, you know what? We're gonna wait till part four.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the franchise just the pinnacle kill, right, of anyone is the log scene in 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The point where I'm sure you get an argument of someone of a certain age and they'd be like, no, it's the first one. You know. So this go on, Trey.
No, I was just gonna say, like, I mean, the log one is the one that I feel like everybody can relate to. I've never flown before, so I've like, you know, like, I think that is terrifying to think mm-hmm. about, like a plane exploding, but like, I don't know. I feel like the most relatable one is getting like in a car.
Oh, it's
just being behind that type of vehicle. Like this one right here, nobody, like not many people go to the fucking NASCAR races.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the most unique killing one too. So yeah. That's where we start though. We start in a NASCAR event. And I was just saying about like a few things. It doesn't matter what anyone's budget is, and this might just be me. Doesn't anytime someone's in a movie or a show sitting in bleachers, like that, it looks like a set, like an SNL set, like when they're sitting in bleachers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't help but ever not see it. Doesn't, like, and this movie didn't do anything wrong with that. I just, you know, anyway. But they're in there, and we have their group of kids. We immediately get our group of kids. I think they're supposed to be like right out of college or
around that
age. Working age, because they have like apartments and shit later on.
Yeah.
They're doing well, which I was like, oh, good for you. But they're talking. We kind of meet her cast of characters, which, I mean, they really latter on the most stereotypical, like, cartoon characters of around you. You have, and then, you know, help me out here, guys. So you have her main four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The couple, and then the two friends that used to date but don't date anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've got the ditzy mom who, like, only half pays attention to her kids.
Who, they didn't give a name. They literally, in the credits, call her MILF.
No fucking way, really?
I am not, and I say this because I looked it up several times, and if she has a name, then they still credit her as name/MILF.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that's a thing.
We got her. We've got
the racist.
The racist. It's a hard R racist. Like,
yeah.
And all pun intended with that, like, just like capital letters racist.
Yeah. Yeah. He's bad. We've got the mechanic who,
aggressive.
He's aggressive, but like,
so
there's something about him.
Yeah.
Something about that guy.
Like, and then we've got the security guard.
And the security guard, who is, to me, the most notable actor of the cast. He, which I just pulled it up because I want to make sure I get the names right.
George is the character's name. George. I don't remember the actor's name.
God, I'm going to pronounce it wrong. Like, Nicolette Williamson. He's Bubba in Forrest Gump, and,
that's Bubba!
And, Baby Owen in Con Air, his best friend, Nick Cage's best friend in Con Air.
Oh, wow. My God!
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. He's one of my favorite characters in this movie.
He, like, my first note of this movie, which I like you said, I like all Final Destination movies, so any, like, real criticisms are just more of, like, to me, the deaths all happen to the wrong people. Like, when we get to the racist death, like, it should be a lot worse compared to other. Like, I want it, like, vicious, like, nasty, like, I want him to have the worst possible death.
I think there's something symbolic about him getting dragged down the street and catching fire.
Yes, and with the Why Can't We Be Friends playing, like, it's a good scene. I just,
you want to see him get his comeuppance.
Yeah, like more, a little more than,
like, drawn out. Suffer.
Maybe I'm sadistic. And then, and then, like, George just also, like, just gets pancaked. And they're like, oh, shit.
Just so fast. It's just like, you blink, you're like, ah.
The ending, like, right when he gets pancaked to, like, the end of the movie, like, they kind of, like, rush for the finish. Like, we know we want a tight 80. You know?
Yeah,
like, people are here for one reason and one reason only. So good, but good painting of the picture. And our lead, Nick, you know, has his vision that all these things are going to happen, and the kids get the condoms in the, or not condoms, the tampons in the ears.
Is like, dude, that would have been better if, like, she just took a condom out and just, like, wrapped it around her ears. Like, just like, here, don't up. Listen. Around the whole here. Head.
Mom has to keep these on her at all times.
Ooh, it's lubricated.
Ooh, it's slippery. Why is it so slippery?
Yeah.
The mechanic and his girlfriend, I think, they're the ones that, that or like, give me the binoculars because they want to drink the Jim Beam.
In a post-COVID world, that's really hard to watch.
It's like rough.
It's gross before COVID, but like in the now times, it's even worse.
Yeah. Especially like they're probably like also not like hammered too.
Yeah,
you know, like hammer limit. Like, yeah, hey, I'll take a sip of that, but like. Weird. Also rough, like just like I assume like warm Jim Beam. That's what made me go, are they 17? You know, like so that happens, and then like, yeah, there's a really just like, I mean, like I said, he wasn't even racist, like he's racist, but he's a neo-Nazi. Like he has a freaking swastika tattooed on his arm. you know, makes awful joke when George walks by. It's really hard not to say Bubba, since I told you guys that was Bubba now. Walks by, you know, just lets it go. And anyway, he has a premonition that, like, all hell's going to break loose on this track. The bench is cracking. The car is going to fly. It's from the pit stop gas. I mean, I've never been to a NASCAR. And it's or any sort of race, but I know it's really loud in there.
Yeah,
And I like that this does the same thing that every like movie and show does with like a nightclub. It's like we can just have a normal conversation.
Yeah, a normal volume. Yeah,
yeah. Like a lot of people should be having headphones like you guys have on right now.
Yeah. Well, I remember we got free tickets to a football game. Mm-hmm. And they were free, so we were literally the second to top row, and we could feel everything shaking.
Oh my god, that was terrifying.
And we were just like, this is, it's nerve-wracking. And because of the because it was college football and the SEC rules and everything, they don't sell alcohol there, and I was like, this is a bad time to be sober. I'm really stressed out. And like, we came home and we watched this movie actually, because we were like, that's all we could think of the whole time.
I would too. Oh my god, like an old Coliseum, just kind of like you can feel everything. Like, I don't know, like I go to ballparks and like I know like the really old ones like Fenway, like you see the cracks.
That's terrifying.
I did want to interrupt because it's just so I don't know if this is the actual cast, but if you go to IMDb for these names, they are just their job or their like signifiers from, except for our main cast, MILF, mechanic, racist, racist wife's MILF's husband, cowboy. There, oh yeah, there was a cowboy who moves.
Yes.
Mechanic's girlfriend. So, you know.
Can you imagine like somebody's like, oh, who'd you play in the Final Destination movie? Racist girlfriend.
Like, well, the thing is, too, I'm pretty sure the mechanic had an actual name because he was wearing, like, a work shirt with the names on it.
He probably did.
I can't remember what it was. It sounded like Steve or something pretty generic, but,
He does, because that's just IMDb, and then I have the Wikipedia open, and that has people's names next to it. So it says Andy... so his name's Andy in the movie.
Oh, okay.
But I think if we watch the credits of it, they do like the slash to tell you who's who at least.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's kind of helpful because I prefer
movie that like names every single character, and then you're like, I don't know who that is. Yeah.
Guy in striped shirt, Steve Tarkington. So anyway, so the accident happens, and Nick is doing the Final Destination. He's like yelling and. Get out, everyone, get out. And I was like, what the fuck's wrong with you? But he convinces his girlfriend, who is on One Tree Hill, or his ex-girlfriend, and, you know, they gets everyone out, but he gets just the racist out, but not his wife, and he gets the mechanic, the mom out, and the mechanic, and one girl, before we hit the credits, gets, an engine splatter, like...
Yeah,
I thought it was like a tire, maybe?
It's the MILF girl.
It's the mechanic's girlfriend.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The MILF girl is later at the salon.
Wait, no, we're talking about like the thing actual... that happens here. Like,
yeah, the opening credits. Yeah. She goes, have you all lost your fucking minds?
And then
it's the mechanic's girlfriend.
Yeah, and it's I think an engine or something, like you said, like a tire like falls and crushes her. And what I found crazy about that scene is the race. It's like seeing all the mayhem and pandemonium and the one just douchebag friend, what's his name? Hunt. Like, oh yeah, got it. It's like, you clearly like, it's a post 9/11 world too. Like, there's something not wrong. It's not just an accident. Like, like I said, everyone's a cartoon in this movie except for like Nick and Lori. But so that happens, the credits hit, and the credits are really of a time too, because it looks like the thousand ways to die.
Oh my god, dude. I used to love that show.
Oh, the best. I wish it was able to watch that show still, just marathons and Spike, I think it was. So but that immediately like all there, and like I said, the movies by four know what you're there for, right? Like they know why we're going to see the Final Destination.
I like how the opening credits, though, it's kind of like a tribute to all of the movies before it, because you just get like all of the cool kills that happened before, but like it's the like the x-rays of like what is actually happening inside to these people. It's like a cool way to like, you know, like a nice little perspective to put on it.
It's a neat way to open, and then we get our fast forward where the memorial of this event.
I am sad that there's no Tony Todd here.
Yeah, that's the one missing. Like, you want him. I want him at the memorial, right? Yeah. Like, and I love that Tony Todd gets to be like two horror icons. It's basically like this, like Final Destination, Death, and the Candyman.
I feel like this is the only one that he's not in, because like even in three, he is like the PA voice.
He's the voice of the like
the ride.
He's not in it. And I wanted, don't know why. I'm sure there's an answer somewhere, but that's partially why I was like, this is kind of getting that with the naming convention and everything. There's probably some soft rebooting going on. Even though they do have the reference, like, this has happened before, you know, a plane crash, you know, when they have their sit down in the Friends set.
I think it could have been strategic to be like, it could have been both ways. Like, if this does really well, then maybe we can be like, oh, it's just the Final Destination.
Yeah, you're right. And then it came back with five, which was... has a great twist at the end. That I saw in theaters, and I was like, fuck, that was cool. That was cool.
Well, it was so, I felt so dumb the whole time, because there were so many little like 90s tidbits.
The phone.
And it isn't until the very end that we're like, what?
Yeah, I felt the same way, Jack. I'm like, I should have, you why? Oh, of course the phone makes sense. Of course they're not just texting someone. But, you know, with this one, but they're at this memorial, and people are coming up to Nick, and they're like, you know, you're a hero, thank you, blah, blah, blah. But then we get the perfect storm of George, the racist, George and then the racist all in kind of one frame. And he's like, you know, they kind of watch this like, well, you're going to get what's coming to you, basically. And that's how the racist feels. And
in a more racist way.
In a more, I'm not going to quote anything on here. And he uses, it's so jarring, just the hardest R. Like, it's, even knowing he's playing a racist, it was like, oh. Like,
I feel for actors that have to do that.
I expect that, you know, in like, Django Unchained, when I'm going to see, like, a period piece, like, movie about, you know, racism and shit. Anyway, that was, whew. But yes, I felt bad, because I'm sure the actor was like, I guess I got to do this. Then what, we cut right to George at his house. Figuring it out. And the racist is outside with his tow truck. And Jesse kind of alluded to it before of his kill, which I said was like, it's the first one to go. And as he should be. I just wish there was more. We were playing with it a little more. That was like, of all the kills, that's the one I'm like, ooh, like I want to see you get fucked up. Like, I would like to see a Terrifier kill for that guy, because he's such a bad character.
That's a good, like, it just
there's also like, okay, so with the third one, we've got what's his face, the little goth guy, McKinley. I don't remember the actor's name. But like, he kind of becomes a secondary antagonist where he's trying to avenge his girlfriend's death. And I could see them on the one hand doing that with this guy. But on the other hand, I'm glad we don't have to have more time with him in the movie.
You're right. And they've already done that with like one, two, like there's a third or second antagonist. That's not just death. You know, trying to also do things to make it, you know, to make the movie have more like tension and everything. So I get that point. But anyway, he's a tow guy, and he gets hooked, and the car goes, and why can't we be friends later? And that's one of my favorite tropes of this series is the music that Death puts to
on the nose.
Death has like a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And then just drags them down, you know. rips them down the street and set on fire. And
but I also think one of the great things about him being the first killer is that nobody's really all that sad. They're like, man, it's weird that he survived the racetrack incident, but you know, fuck him.
Got him.
Like, George nobody thinks too hard about it at first.
And George just had a and a nice thing on this one too is we don't they shied away. It's a little bit in the movie, but you know, the cops being a big player, like the detective being a big player and being like, well, you're always here, like it's there, but it's not the fucking hinge of the movie.
Yeah, it's kind of something out of that.
So, but that happens. George is like, it's fucking weird. That was the guy that was in, you know. And then And then we cut to the kids. I think we cut back to the kids though. No, I'm sorry. Then we have the kill. Then we have our next kill, which is the mom and her kids.
Hers is kind of funny too.
Yeah, hers is.
This drives me crazy. It drives me crazy because she's late to late to her appointment. Mm-hmm. They close in 10 minutes. And she's like, please, just real quick. They are putting foils on this woman's hair.
Yeah.
That takes time, just putting the foils on, then processing time, then the washing, cutting, drying, styling. All of this is a minimum 2 hours. And that is if you are like, ba 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 ba. There's no way.
Not dealing with the rickety chair. Yeah, really inconsiderate. So she should have been 2 hours early for this, or not 2 hours. She should have been on time for this appointment.
Yeah.
It's like I walked into Goodwill today and the woman's like, we're closing in 10 minutes. And I just want to look at the Blu-rays. And I was like, I just need to pee. I'll be out in a minute.
Yeah.
It doesn't take 2 hours. this one, I think this one, like, you know, we play with their food, like we're calling the kills food, right? We play with the food the most, right? Like, the most red herrings. It's you hear the. Another great thing about Final Destinations is the sound. The sound is such a fucking player in what is the movie, right? What are the kills? So you hear the lawnmower going on, and I mean, you really forget about it, right? I forget about it, but it's always in the background of this. Of this scene, and the hair, the chair is kind of janky. The
hairspray is making its way towards the heated up hair straightener. The ceiling fan is loose. Mm-hmm. Like there's so much going on, and it's one of those that it's like, what contraption is gonna finally take her out? And it ends up being nothing in the salon.
Nothing. I mean. The kids run in, they fucking do. And one thing to note is the receptionist, Cheyenne, she is also the receptionist for your Better Call Saul fans or Breaking Bad fans. Because I forget her character's name in that show, but she's fucking great in Saul.
That's her name.
Just her like attitude towards Saul. And
I just remember that. I didn't watch Better Call Saul, but I saw her on screen. I was like, oh, that's the receptionist from Final Destination.
She's got an attitude in this movie and in that show too.
It's weird where like shit you see like trigger stuff because we, like I said, I've only been watching One Tree Hill, and a psychic comes in one episode to, you know, do whatever, and I'm like, she looks really familiar, and my wife's like, oh no, and I'm like, yep, that was the old lady from Drag Me to Hell. And she's a lot younger, like she's like not doesn't have that heavy makeup on. I'm like, yep, she played a psychic named Zelda again. And it was literally last night. But it's shit where you're like, I know you from this thing that no one else is going to fucking know you from.
Yeah.
Her name is Insaw Francesca.
Francesca.
The rock that the kids are throwing, you know, the mother just takes it right in the eye and.
I've got my eye on you.
Yeah. And there's another foreshadowing. The movie's a fucking thick in the foreshadowing. And, you know, she just drops dead.
I worried for the first time.
Those kids have therapy for life.
Yeah, that's
how do you ever go do anything again?
For the longest time, because like after, like the guy on the lawnmower has no idea what's happening, he's like still cutting grass, yeah. He's like smoking a cigarette. For the longest time, I thought that it was a joint, because
I thought it was still a joint. It's like, wait, it's a cigarette?
It's a cigarette, because like you see him beforehand, it's just like a cigarette
that he's lighting. I always thought it was like a Black and Mild, like a cigarillo, if you will. Okay. That's what I always thought.
Because he's smoking it like a joint.
He holds it like a joint. I thought it was a joint, because he's also like kind of vibing.
Yeah. Maybe he's like wanting to be cool. I don't know. He's like, I'm cutting
grass. I don't know.
I'm so cool, baby.
If I had to cut grass all day, I'd probably be stoned too.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I would too.
Like, yeah, like,
but then look what happens. You know, somebody loses an eye.
I don't know. That's not his fault either.
Yeah, I guess.
You can't expect it for rocks.
Yeah. But dude, you're high and you're like, oh shit.
Oh, he didn't even notice though. He didn't hear any of the commotion.
If he learns, it's like, wow, like a meteor hit you? Wow. What was that?
You're right. It's so then we go back to our main four, right? Because they hear it on the news. And this
Nick
is when
and Lori are like, hey, something's weird. There's a pattern here.
And
Nick, Hunt and
I don't know the girl's name.
I got it. Samantha. No. It's not her name. Janet.
Oh yeah, Hunt and Janet.
Yeah.
They're like, nope, don't believe any of this. This is weird. Too much trauma already. We're going to go do separate things.
We're out. And, but you're right. Nick and Lori, like, he's like, no, I had a premonition. This is where it's going. And they even go back to the scene. He's like, and I got to map it together. And George is still there. And George is like, what the fuck are you doing here? And that's when they loop George in.
Which, and why is George still there as a security guard? There's nothing to guard at that point.
Yeah, that shit's like broken down. Like nobody's trying. Well, maybe somebody's trying to like.
Maybe he's just like trying to clock in. Like he's like, I still gotta pay my bills. Yeah. If I'm clocked in, they legally have to pay me.
Maybe. I just took it as like he was like. George to me in this movie is our moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that was to me. He was like, he's trying to piece it together or like relive the trauma. Like, I think the sad reality of George, from what we learn, is that, like,
I would watch that movie. The sad reality of George.
Like, he's not on a good path. Like, he's trying to find right in everything. I don't know. I'm pulling answers out of my ass.
No, guys. That's pretty accurate, though, because he talks later about how he used to struggle with alcohol addiction, mm-hmm. and one day he crashed his car with his family in it and he's the only one that survived. Mm-hmm. So he really is trying to like make sense of why he is the one that survived and try to be like search for his own redemption, so
to
speak.
That's probably why he was there, right? You know, and they give him a good like truly the only fleshed out character arc in this. Like,
yeah,
I be honest with you, I watched it twice in the last 2 weeks. I can't tell you what the other characters' like motives and like interests in life are.
It's probably the weakest batch of characters in the series.
Yeah, it's archetypes 101.
Yeah.
It's all good though. They all serve a purpose.
Yeah, duh.
And then they, you know, they're like, we could stop it. I think the one kill we do miss in this time and is the mechanic who just gets like sliced through the grate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be so painful.
That would be
like,
the worst.
Not even the going through the fence, but the like being hit by this projectile like canister.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I'm a little bit disappointed by it, though. Like, I feel like there's so much more interesting things to explore in a mechanic shop, and then a thing shoots out at him. Like, okay.
So I mean, this movie like has the kill should be, to me, the kill should just be, there's more interesting sets to go on always, right? So, yeah. Like you said, like it's very it's like the first movie, and maybe it's not the first one where someone gets that sawed in half during the final kind of, not sawed, but it was like that, like, there was another kind of fence kill in one of
that's,
the first movies.
That's the second one.
Second movie, yeah.
It's when the explosion comes up in the power lines, like, or like the fence like slices them in half. Yeah,
it's kind of just that again. Mm-hmm. And I get what you're saying, especially like watching at home, they were trying to make it 3D too, and like kind of have that effect. Yeah. And the kill itself, though, is very like Hellraiser kill too, because I feel like you're splitting each body part apart.
Yeah.
But so we do, you know, see his fate. And I do think that was more the pinnacle. If I'm, like I said, I'm trying to piece where we're at of, okay, something's going on here. But then they talk to George and he's like, you know, we can't do this. We're all going to die. No, I'm skipping way around.
This is where they're trying to find Janet and Hunt.
Yes.
Because they think Janet and Hunt are next. And he's gotten some premonition about water.
Yes, water, a cigarette, and like some slash on the eye or something like that. Like he's seen a little. You mentioned when we started. Like this is the one where Nick is a true like medium, and like he's getting premonitions, not just about the event, about every little thing that's gonna fucking happen.
That's new, right? Like that doesn't happen in the other ones.
Yeah, normally it's like a gust of wind, and you're like, uh-oh.
Or you'll see like a shadow.
Yeah.
It's a chill in the back. Like you hear that gust of wind in before every kill starts. It's always there, but this time you said it's like almost premonition before each one. But we do go on to this is like the most unhinged part of the movie for me too. So sorry, I almost glazed right past it. Hunt is being a fucking tool, and like. He's having graphic sex in just the pool, the community pool tent.
Yeah, like the changing room. It's there's a canvas flap that's not even tied. No! Like that's all that's separating them from like a public indecency charge.
And they're loud.
Yeah.
Like it.
Also, I don't believe him sorry to get too graphic. I don't believe him for a minute when he says he finished 4 minutes ago.
No.
There's no way.
Uh-huh. No, you could get great. No way. No way. You'd be like, you good? All right. Like, you know, and that man doesn't use protection.
No.
Like, no. She knows.
It was her first time.
Oh, no. It's even worse. Yeah. That would be surprising, too. So that's happening. He's just a fucking asshole at every round of the pool. He takes that kid's like squirt gun and like throws it over the.
I'm kind of on his side with that.
That kid's kind of an asshole.
Children don't need squirt guns. I dislike the people at Nerf for inventing those. It's.
I'll meet you in a minute. They don't need them at the public pool and squirting at just people walking by, no matter how big of a douche they are.
Yeah.
But
this scene was definitely like somebody assisting with the script is like, guys, have you read Guts by Chuck Palahniuk? Like, that's 100% what happened.
Is that
here.
Like a thing?
That is a thing in Guts. Thing? Now yeah.
Okay, like with the butt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Except he survives and his parents are disappointed in him.
Wait.
Yeah, it's more of just a prolapsed asshole in Guts.
Oh no!
You just brought me back. You just brought me back to like middle school, being like, I need all the Chuck Palahniuk books, and then going, oh god, I'm 14. But so I'll just go through. Yeah, he go through his like they don't save him. But he has the. I do think the funniest kid, like he swims down there and just gets fucking suctioned. Like you said, prolapsed asshole, but it takes all of its guts out and goes in the pump, and you just see kind of the blood going through. That must be harder to clean up instead of just like a shit in the pool, right? Like,
yeah. What?
I said this when we watched it. I was like, so we're seeing like organs and blood fall. We would be seeing shit coming out with all of this too.
Unfortunately,
you would see everything. I think.
Yeah.
be like a murky pool of that's what we need. That's what we need. I know, I'm sure we need like Damien Leone to make a Final Destination.
Oh my god.
We need, like, they're gonna give him a big budget to do something of a property at one point, right? That Terrifier 2 is so successful. They need to give that man this franchise. I know this is getting rebooted, I think, for like Netflix or something.
HBO.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I want to see that, where it's like, no, we're going back, but it's going to be it's going to be great, but terrible.
It's just his way of making another Terrifier. He's like, oh yeah, and this one, art's death. It's just like, okay, cool, that's what you did, Damien. Great.
I tweeted at the writers that are supposed to be signed up for this. It's Marcus Dunstan and Patrick
Melton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, just a thought. I find revolving doors terrifying, and you guys have made so many other mundane things terrifying. If you need a kill idea for the Final Destination, and one of them tweeted back, funny that you mentioned that, ...
Yeah.
So if there's a revolving door death in the next one, I predicted it.
Yeah. Let's get your check in the mail.
Yeah.
I will accept royalties. Thank you.
Yeah, you should. You'd be like, that is nice. See, he just lied that he said funny that you mentioned that.
Yeah, he's like, oh, shit. Get that down. Yep.
Marcus, write this down.
Dooley stuck in the revolving door. Kid runs in. Glass shatters. But that kill's great. And then on the other side, they're like racing through and they know she's getting her car washed, which is actually like another, like you said, like mundane thing that is. Mm-hmm. Terrified.
I'm wondering, like, what would have killed her there? Would those like little brushes actually killed her?
I feel like they're probably industrial and probably would have been powerful, bad for though? Her.
Would she just get irritated to death?
I don't know.
I thought it was like more headed towards like a decapitation more because of where her head was in the.
Yeah,
you know, she was gonna either drown. Or, like, but you said, like, actually the machine itself, I don't know if it's wiping anyone's, you know, really cutting into anything.
And, like, another thing here, too, like, I'm surprised that the force of George and the other girl, like, ramming her car head on didn't cause, like, more shit to happen. Like, what if that caused her to, like, actually lose her head?
Yeah.
Because it's, like, already pinned down there, and then, like, somebody hitting your car head on, just like boom. Like,
yeah, that's not it would be good. Hit the neck. Ooh, it's kind of hit my neck, actually. Hit the neck, you know, in the plate of that.
Like, that's the worst possible case scenario of whiplash.
Yeah.
And her character, after all this, doesn't make a fucking. We're talking about like whiplash and things, doesn't make a lick of sense, too, because it's talking about trauma and it doesn't happen to her.
Yeah, she is completely in denial for the rest of this movie.
Yeah, until she dies.
She keeps saying that she's moved on and it's fine, but she's just fully in denial.
Even like after this second premonition, she's like, I don't believe it.
Yeah,
she's like, you're being paranoid.
Yeah,
I mean, and I went to a
Nick's
movie.
Like, well, I'm a good guy, so I'm going to save you anyway.
Yeah.
Nick's like too good, like. They need a Devon Sawa.
He's like a Mary Sue.
I was gonna say, what's the Mel?
Yeah.
Well,
Mark Sue.
Okay.
A John Mark Sue. I was gonna say a John Taylor, which I think is a president, right?
No, fucking John Taylor. That's the name now.
John Taylor. All right, he's a John Taylor.
John Taylor.
But like, yeah. But back, you're saying Mary Sue just driving that through, and also like. Talking about little things we could have done to make the scene more, like, interesting. Like, isn't there, like, hot wax in... in, like, I think there's a comedic version of this scene.
Oh, God,
It's a Gary Stew.
I like it because of how stupid it is, but I like the John Taylor better.
I like both. Gary Stew.
Gary Stew.
Luke Skywalker is a Gary Stew.
Yeah, what a fucking Gary Stew.
But yeah, it's a cool set piece. He saves the day. They pull her out. That was another thing. I'm like, wow, they really got this like awkward body to come right out of the water of it, you know, and save the day. But they do, they recoil, and at the same time, though, they're like, we gotta go tell George, and while this was happening, George was trying to kill himself. And we find out that first he was trying to drink, you know, like, just by a drink by suicide, and then he was, what, a hanging, a gunshot, like, basically everything, and he's like, can't.
Yeah, like, the gun misfired, the rope fell apart, like, he threw up the pills, like...
Just thinking of that, like, shot from It's Always Sunny of Frank just dangling when they go into the bar.
Yeah.
I don't remember that episode.
It's the one where he's, like, wearing the Life is Good shirt. He's just, like, trying to kill himself.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Pondy rules.
Yeah.
Then he convinces Pondy not to kill himself. Yeah, it...
That episode bums me out just because
it's sad.
It's sad, it's in sad Sonny. But yeah, so they do tell, and George is like, that makes sense, well, we got to see this through, you know. And he kind of also, they kind of give him a second lease on life too, which is nice. So it's like, we could stop this thing. I think the Pat and Nick also has a thing of like, I disrupted the pattern.
Yeah. They also offer to be basically like found family for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he talked about having lost everything. And they're like, no, we're here for you, George, but we are going to go travel internationally and you're not invited.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they can only afford so much with their nice houses and, you know, George. So, yeah, they're dicks.
And George is like, come move in. Move in with me.
I got plenty of room. George
is moving fast.
But so then they go take a look at it, and then they go to they run into the hospital to, it was,
The cowboy.
They see a news report that, like, the unidentified man who was pulled from the rubble at the accident is currently on life support, and he has been identified.
I think it's funny though that they're like automatically like cowboy, because like there's so many people that were there that like could have been hurt, because like everything's still played out.
Yeah,
but then
is what, 80 people are probably fucking injured and dead at minimum of this accident.
Yeah.
But yeah, cowboy. Oh, I'm there, and they go to the hospital. They're gonna find the room too, and that's a fun scene too, because this is like old man who's in like a water bath, and like
another racist. Yeah, we get another racist. Shit. We thought we were done.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I said funnel. You're right. And they like, whoever wrote this script was real like 2009 of like, this is fine.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be upset at all about this. As long
as say JK after it, we're good.
Yeah.
I will say, I do have a soft spot. Even like the meanest old man, if they look sad in a movie, I can't help but also feel sad.
Jess, like, is a big Gran Torino fan.
Like, in I Know What You Did Last Summer, when they tackle the old man in the raincoat, and he's just like on the sidewalk sobbing. I feel so sad every time.
In that scene though, before he got tackled, he wasn't spewing racist bullshit.
I know. I don't like the fact that he's racist, and I'm not condoning it, but then he's just like dangling over this pool going, help.
He's just saying help. It didn't need it. Put it that way, the scene works if even without that.
Yeah,
exactly.
You could have just been a dick. Like, you could be a dick and not be racist. You can make a
belligerent old man, and it's believable without adding in hate speech.
Yes, I'm gonna blame the scriptwriter. I don't know. Todd Farmer probably had something to do with this fucking movie.
Fucking Todd Farmer.
It just feels like that era. We're like, yeah, man, write it. You know, I'll throw some things in there. Can I see some titties? Like, that's every Todd Farmer movie. So one thing with this, and I do relate to this. So my dad's an HVAC tech, and I've like used to like would go to work with him. I've worked that job where you had to rent a crane and the big unit to get onto the roof and install that.
Oh.
You know, for I've been on a job site for those days before. They're really fucking stressful days.
I'd imagine.
And they feel that way. They're like, when, you know, if I don't hold this, it's going to go wrong. And, you do need to get Crane. It's a very elaborate thing, and it's like interesting that like nothing really happens with that set piece.
I know, yeah. Right? Like, I feel like that would be perfect for this.
I worked in a factory before, and I think I probably get on Travis's nerves because there will be instances where they're doing something. I'll go, lockout, tagout! Lockout, tagout!
So, anyway, it's like, that hit close to home where I'm like, I mean, my dad still does that not every day because that's a fucking very expensive job. But, like, like they're shutting down, like, Real Inside Baseball. I don't expect the movie to do this. Like, they're shutting down, like, parts of the hospital to do that installation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did want to mention one thing. We did get a really nice Clear Rivers shout out from the first movie from Ali Larder's cameo.
Yeah.
But back to the hospital, like that happens, the cowboy fucking gets what the smushed by the pool.
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, that's crazy. And they're walking out of the hospital and they're like, all right. And like we said earlier, fucking George just gets pancaked.
Yeah. And this starts off the second premonition sequence.
That's the thing about this movie. It gives you two, which is awesome, you know? And I think this one's better than the first one.
Like, yeah.
If the movie would have started at the mall, like, I would have loved that.
I like that better. And I like horror in movie theaters, too. It's like the demons, right? Like,
yeah.
It just works there. It works here and... you're right. We should like if that was the set piece of a movie fire or whatever the fuck it is, like that works.
Yeah.
Plus then you've got like even bigger like list of people we need to go through and try and contact because how many people are in a mall?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that would be like we gotta run out and there's a lot of things. Like you could even do like the car giveaways in a mall or something with like the fountain. Like there's a lot of pieces in the fucking mall. Even a hanger. Someone could fall on a hanger and, you know, pick their eye out. Should we be writing these?
Jess, what are all the dumbest ways you've been afraid of dying?
Me driving after this recording. So they do that. He has this premonition, and the premonition, like you said, is more wild. It's like it's happening behind the screen, and it's, you know, there's construction going on and nail guns going off. Although it's really funny to me, that guy's just hammering into just blocks of wood. I mean, nailing into blocks of wood that have no purpose. I guess he's checking.
What else do you nail into?
Break time.
Obviously.
Leaves the nail gun there. And like, also like, why was there like a shit ton of like liquids and gasoline in this spot?
What even is that? Like, don't you think that they would be hearing all of this construction going on behind the movie theater?
No, the movie was really loud, Travis.
Till death. Till death do his part.
We were watching Scream 6 last night, and like I could hear the fucking IMAX movie next to us, like big explosions.
Oh,
like,
I've been in there.
Like,
I guess it's that
it drove me crazy.
I guess it's that scene in Top Gun. Like,
yeah,
you know, yeah, they would have heard it all. But in this movie's huge. It's playing at all things. They have their 3D glasses on, and Lori's like pretty freaked out. Like she's like on edge. She has a sixth sense of this. Mm-hmm.
Because she's hearing similar like moments. There's like a down in front asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody with a racist ringtone. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of like little moments, and she's like, what if we didn't actually break the chain? And Janet's like, shut the fuck up.
And that's where like Janet is just like, you fucking goon. Like she's like, I'm over, I'm this. It's like you almost fucking died in getting your car washed, a very safe thing to do. your ex-boyfriend just got his asshole eaten out. But like death wise. And I don't know. You're right. Like cartoon character, she just fucking whatever. We're going to the movies, and but we see it all happen. The fucking theater burns down. Like we actually, the most gruesome part of the movie is when Nick goes to save her in the premonition. She gets eaten up by the escalator.
Oh my god! Yeah, that's so terrifying.
That's a fear. A real fear. I'm still afraid of it. I do not take escalators.
Mm-hmm. Dude, like, whenever it gets to, like, the end of the escalator, I, like, grab the rails and I, like, lift myself up. That way, like, I, like, hover over that little, like, entrance part. Because I don't want to get my laces stuck. Like, you know.
No, it seems...
You got floppy laces, though.
I do, exactly. You got flops?
Your laces flop? I'm a floppy boy, too. It happens. But yeah, that's the most fucking gruesome scene. If that happened in One Tree Hill, I'd recommend it for you guys with that character.
Here's the thing about that, though, that's a little bit absurd, because she starts spitting out blood when it's just her leg caught in the machine.
Yeah, you know, movie.
You know, I'm going to be honest. I feel like if it ended right here, I think that would be amazing. It would be kind of like an exclamation mark, like, and that's the end. Like, they got eaten by an escalator. That's
it. Almost if we reverse, or not reverse it, like, yeah, you like, even the escalator, or just been like, yeah, it's all over, like, let's go see this movie. Like, maybe they foreshadowed, like, yo, I really want to see this movie, and, like, it ends in the theater, and you're in the theater, and it ends, you know, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But it actually ends with a big tragedy, you know, there, instead of just the car coming through the fucking window of the cafe.
Yeah. Which, we've talked about this, that ending cafe scene. We're both pretty sure that's the first scene they filmed in the movie, because there is zero chemistry between those three actors. It's like their first day on set with each other.
Yeah,
you're probably right. I didn't even think of that.
They don't know how to interact. Like, yeah. It's just like there's nothing there between them.
Oh yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. Like, you know, my 650 frappa lattes. No, it's probably delicious.
They can't even get pet names right. She's like, right, babe?
Yeah. Well, this is also the scene where, like, he was walking past the scaffold and he's like, hey, bud, this looks pretty unsafe. Yeah. And, you know, the guy was like, yeah, sure, we'll get somebody right on that. Asshole.
Yeah, like, you know, it reminded me of, like Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man 3 fucking walking down the street when he does that. He's like, hey, ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba, and like, you're that guy that saved the world. He's like, yeah, bum, bum. Oh, fix that, buddy.
I wish he was like that. Like, he's got, like, he went emo after all of this, like, crazy shit happening. Like, yeah.
Yeah, just fix that.
You got that Chris Traeger season 4 hair.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, but that is really what, so we have the theater and he does save the day in the theater. Like,
I will say though that, the premonition is kind of an asshole to George there, because like he gets out of that right before he can even say anything. Like, he turns around and George is like, boom.
Are the premonitions also racist?
It could be.
I think the person who wrote this script was just fucking racist.
Maybe.
Hold on.
Because it's just like, why? Why even, like, give him that opportunity? It's just like, and
because they didn't want to see him in the end coffee shop. Because, like you said, they didn't want to get out of a plane ticket.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it happens. And it's, like, except I did earlier mention how my dad, like, does HVAC. So, like, my whole life, like, I don't know, like, I've never been around someone who, like, they, you know, they work somewhere. So they'd be like, that's not how it's really done. Like, if he's ever watching, like, people crawl through, like, ductwork, he's like, you can't do that. You'll be shredded. You know, they're not clean. Yeah. And the other thing I remember, and I'll never forget it, is like, yeah, nail guns don't work that way. Like, you can't just shoot them. You have to, you know, there has to be a press and shot. And I mean, it's movie logic. So I'm not, you know, deducting points or anything like that, but the thing's just firing off at his arm, and he has the stick, and he gets the, you know, he gets the sprinklers, and it's the best sprinkler system to ever fucking work.
I know, like, it immediately extinguishes the fire.
It should have been going before that.
I know.
Yes! It was pretty smoky in there.
It's the best and the worst sprinkler system. Okay, so the writer for this, Eric Bress, he also worked on Final Destination 2.
Okay.
And the butterfly effect.
Okay.
So butterfly effect has its own amount of what the fuck?
Butterfly effect also has a lot of, and I'm not like the most up to date on the butterfly effect, but it does have a lot of racially characterized characters in that movie, I believe.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've watched it. There's like, a lot of fucked up stuff in that movie.
That playing into like the Southern stereotype, I believe that movie has a lot of.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Take that, what I said, with a grain of salt. But yeah, this guy definitely is a way he writes shit. Yeah. And for all we know, five other people wrote it, and this guy just got credit.
Yeah.
You know, movies. This is true. But that is, and so they go get the everything's fine now, and they think that's the last premonition. But like you said, coffee shop, no chemistry. He's a funny drink.
There's a bus that drives by. It's a bus 180.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the fucking bus, boom, car comes flying through the window, and then we go back to 1,000 Ways to Die, X-ray yes. credits. And that's like kind of the movie, and it's a fun Final Destination movie. I like how you put it when we first started talking. There's no bad Final Destination movie. I put it there with like Child's Play and Scream.
Yeah.
There's
always people that have arguments like, no, there's clearly a worse in the franchise, and it's like, okay, there's clearly one that's weaker than the rest, but is it really bad?
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Like, you know, people give Child's Play 3 a hard time.
Love Child's
Play. Love it.
Loved it.
Love it.
Would never understand that one. Like Seed of Chucky is debate. Like, there's a good conversation.
I love Seed of Chucky. I will defend Seed of Chucky with my dying breath.
Point being, like, it's grown on me the years, but I could also tell you why. You know, doesn't fully work.
Exactly. Yeah.
This one is solid. I mean, like, you know, did we miss anything?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, I think we hit all the major points.
Because, you know, thank you for, like, bringing this to watch again, because it is fun. I did a Final Destination rewatch about 2 months ago, and I think I just skipped this one, because I was like, you know, let me bop on 2, and then 5, and, you know, over, and no one really cares about this, but this movie was a fucking hit. I mean, it made bank. It made $186 million.
This one did?
Yeah.
Oh, good shit. For them.
Yeah.
Good
and for them. And it does a really nice thing that I love, in especially, like, I mean, this is basically a slash of the Final Destination. It's like, with credits, it's 82 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Those are, like, yeah, just a short movie. Early
feature. That's great.
Yeah, we had a whole conversation with some of our friends about this, that, like, the movies that are 90 minutes and under, so much love and respect for them.
Well, it's, what's the best Child's Play? Child's Play 2. And yeah. It's a tight 90, there is not a wasted second, and that's a whole different rant. But you're right, 90 minutes and under, I love it. It's easy. We got to bring it back. More 90 minutes and under movie. I think, you know, the Oscars are going around right now, and they're, none of them are 90 minutes and under. That's Final Destination 4, or The Final Destination. Where can everyone find you, or anything you'd like to add?
So you can find us on our website, whatsyourleastfavoritescarymovie.com. You can find us on Twitter.
Instagram's
Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast.
Our show, we release episodes weekly on pretty much every
Thursday
platform. I was going to say. We finish each other's
pancakes.
We're available on pretty much every platform. We release every Thursday. Sometimes we have bonus episodes on Sundays. Just a different movie each week, but once a month we cover the additional entry in a franchise. So we've gone through Friday the 13th and
Halloween,
and now we're working our way through Scream.
Yeah, just started.
So. Yeah, I love your guys' podcast. It's a really good, and you've done so many episodes, such a vast knowledge, where I do need a refresher on something. It's a nice, like, oh, Trav and Jess did this. Let's get you know, let's pop an episode on and refresh my memory on it.
Yeah. So thank you. I enjoy yours too. I was
thank you. Oh, appreciate
right
it.
Right there on my Spotify, man.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you. This will be the only one of that feed now. We've ended the other show.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that a lot. Anyway, you all know where to find me, right on here in Flyover State of Fear. Stay frightful, everyone, and thank you for coming on. Welcome to Flyover State of Fear.